אנחנו קוראים בספר תלמוד 10.
We're reading in the study of the Ten Sefirot, part 2, chapter 4, הסתכלות עמית, inner observation, number 51, search for, once we learn the four degrees in the will to receive. You can find the study materials in the Arvut system under study materials or in our website. You can also ask questions on kab.tv.
יופי. אנחנו, אל תחשבו ש...
We don't think that Tess, the study of the Ten Sefirot, is something extremely vast, confusing for us. You can see how Baal HaSulam advances in a very discreet way, explaining each and every element and detail in the structure of our soul, because we're studying the structure of the soul, how to open the soul up in order to feel the Creator inside it, which fills it. So please, chapter 5.
Chapter 5, item 51, the difference between the restriction and the screen. 51. Once we learned the four degrees in the will to receive, one below the other, well, in its accurate measure, we will now explain the matter of the restriction, the screen, and the difference between them. The restriction has already been thoroughly explained in part one, and also in the inner light, and we need not repeat the words here. The primary issue that we need for our concern is the equivalence that took place there. We don't hear you, Rab.
Let's continue on. He explains more soon. The difference between the Tzimtzum and the Masach. Yes.
Okay, so item 42, the four phases received under restriction and the matter of cause and consequence. 52. It has been explained above that since the light of Ensof is completely even, it had to restrict itself evenly on all sides. This means that all four phases that were restricted are or of equal level. Without a discernment of refinement and coarseness that position the four degrees, one below the other, down to the phase four, the lowest and coarsest of them all. Rather, they are all even. All that was added in the restriction that can be discriminated in it more than in itself is only the matter of the four phases and how they generate each other and cascade down from one another by way of cause and consequence. Phase one is the reason and the cause for the emergence of phase two. Phase two is the cause of phase three, and phase three is the cause of phase four. However, in terms of refinement and virtue, they are completely equal.
Yes, meaning that each and every discernment, as it develops, it becomes the foundation for the next discernment, and so it is in gradation. All the states we have in reality, because our world isn't counted as reality. It's the imaginary world, but the entirety of reality, which the Creator created, is built in that way, where every previous state is a degree upon which the next world, the next state, is built on. And that's how it is with all the degrees, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, that's how they develop. Moscow 7.
Что значит и почему все стадии находятся в полном равенстве?
What does it mean and why that all the phases are completely even in relation to their height and their refinement? And but it's by way of cause and consequence.
Each degree builds itself upon the previous degree as a development. And each degree is a foundation for the development that will occur from it. It's a linear process, but also we learn the form of the circles where we're all connected together, complementing, completing each other from beginning to end and from end to beginning, right? So it depends on how exactly we divide this integral part, slice this integral, this whole image and learn from it. But it's a complete picture. You never take a single fragment and then study it separately. You need to know that if you do it, you don't study it in a true way, but only in a partial way.
Baratulam writes here about the complete equivalence about in relation to this complete perfection of every degree.
Yes, you don't have a single tiny individual detail that's not as important as all the rest of the details, the elements. That's the spiritual wholeness. We don't understand it exactly, but it's impossible to cut off some part of reality and say, it's fine, you still have a lot, more or less. No, by habit, that's how we think, but in actuality, in spirituality, there's nothing partial in spirituality. If you take out a single gram from the billions of tons of spirituality, then that spirituality is already not complete and flawed. Kiev 1.
In our work, do we also connect evenly? Can we say this, like in a circle, and then we move to the next phase in our work?
It's always like that, from the circles to the straight line, from straight line to the circles. For the time being, we cannot see these things. We participate like little children who are in the world, but they don't understand where they are. So that's what we need to discover gradually. Continue, Moshe.
Item 53. There were not cause and consequence in the four phases in Ein Sof. Item 53. This matter of cause and consequence that still divides them into four phases could not emerge in Ein Sof prior to the restriction. There, even the kli in general was not apparent. Rather, it is completely like the light, as it is written in part 1. However, after the light of Ein Sof departed from those phases, they became apparent. And what we must now discern became disclosed, namely the light of Ein Sof itself, meaning what they had before the restriction. The four phases themselves remained empty of light because after the restriction it became apparent that those phases have nothing in common with the light of Ein Sof as it was prior to the restriction. It is like a candle that is merged with a torch. It becomes indistinguishable. However, when separated from the torch, it becomes apparent to all.
Continue.
54. There seems to be a question here. Since the restriction occurred primarily in phase 4, it became evident that phase is unworthy of receiving the light. However, it became evident that the first preceding phases that were not restricted are worthy of receiving the light. Thus, we have a distinction of above and below and importance of one over the other. In other words, phase 4 is lower than the first three phases.
Merkaz Echad.
Merkaz 1.
Why does the restriction have to come before the Masach?
Because that's the natural reaction of the will to receive. There cannot be a screen without restriction. The screen is the continuation of the restriction. After the restriction, the desire wants to connect to the emanator, so it builds a screen and reflected light, connecting through the ten sfirot of reflected light to the ten sfirot of direct light, and so it builds the head of the Paltzuf, and then it receives as much as it can, building itself to be similar to the emanator, and that is called the toch, or the insides of the Paltzuf. Petach Tikva 6.
I just wanted to ask, if should I keep reading from the book or from the computer? We never talked about it. The corona kind of changed the way we study.
I can't tell you. Today everyone does what's comfortable for them. I read off the computer. It's more convenient for me because I can magnify, right? My vision is no longer like that of a young person, so I can make the font larger and it's more comfortable for me. Also, I can put down some marks here and there, because I explain things to you. You ask this and that. So many times I put down some markers. I use the computer. But with Rabash, well, you didn't have computers. And of course, everyone had his own book. And each one inside of his own book wrote all sorts of notes.
Ranana.
Sorry, Rav, but I still didn't understand what the difference is between the Tzimtzum, the restriction, and the Masach, the screen.
Tzimtzum means not to use the will to receive at all. Masach means that I decide how I'm going to use my will to receive in order to bestow. Tzimtzum is that I sit in front of the host and I say, I don't want. I'm not going to receive. And the host says, implores me. Nevertheless, and I see that it's not good, it's not okay, and I reject everything, I restrict myself, and then I somewhat agree to enter a connection with him. And in a connection, I make a calculation, can I receive something in order to bestow or not? That's the beginning of the screen. Tzimtzum means rejection, restriction. The masach means screen. How much can I reject and receive in order to bestow?
55. The tzimtzum, the restrictions, was not wanting of Prinat Daleh, the fourth phase, but solely the purpose of embellishment. The thing is that the tzimtzum of the light in the fourth phase, Prinat Daleh, did not occur because of her inferiority, for we are still dealing with Malchut of Ein Sof, whose name was Prinat Daleh, who is regarded as Ein Sof, the light of Ein Sof itself. Thus, how can we even think that the Tzimtzum occurred due to the inferiority of Prinat Daled, the fourth phase? Indeed, the Tzimtzum, the restriction, did not occur because of the inferiority of Prinat Daled. Rather, it occurred only as an embellishment. It means that this Malchut wanted to reach adhesion with the highest possible, to cleave with to the Ma'atzil, the emanator, completely, being the matter of Hishtavut Atzua, equivalence of form, with the emanator.
Meaning also when she says, I don't want to receive, it's because she doesn't feel lessened by receiving. She didn't receive yet. It's only in order to guard myself as much as possible in being close to the host. Next.
46.
על בחינת דלת שלא ייכנס בה האור.
כן, כי מצד אחד
Right, because on the one hand, we are attracting into Prina Daled, phase 4. On the other hand, we stop the light from entering phase 4. Two opposite forces must be at work here. How?
56. Now we will explain about the Masach that was placed over Prina Daled, being Malchut, when Olam Tzimtzum, the world of Tzimtzum, meaning Malchut of Ein Sof, was clothed in there. It is known that every degree begins with the Malchut de Elyon that becomes her substance. When this is restricted, Malchut drew the upper light over the first three Pchino, the first three phases once more. This Hamshacha, this extension, was necessarily done by the yearning of Pchina Dalid in her. That is, because the first three phases were not vessels of reception and extension whatsoever. Thus, it was necessary for her to first draw the upper light into the four phases, even to Prina Dalet, the fourth phase. However, in order to prevent the light from reaching the fourth phase, she had a new force so as to detain the light from reaching Prina Dalet.
So, Prina Dalet, phase 4, after the restriction, she decides that she's receiving as much as possible in order to bestow, and thereby she basically opens herself up. But she doesn't opens up the restriction to receive into herself. It's only to receive for the host. It's a different style of reception. It's a different condition altogether, that I examine myself. How much can I receive in order to bestow? How much can I receive through reflected light, through the intention to bestow? How far can I put the pleasures into the reflected light, doing so only for the host? In that way, I'm willing to open myself up and receive. And then this reception is not considered reception, but rather bestowal. Because even though I take some refreshments from the host and I eat it, I feel in that how much pleasure I bring to the host by receiving pleasure from him, meaning I feel double the pleasure here. One time, because the host wants to bring me pleasure. And the other time, another time, because how much I receive for him is how much I bring him pleasure. And by that I enjoy bringing pleasure to the host. So my malchut, my will to receive, expands by that. It becomes greater. To what extent? To the extent that I can give back and bestow to the host. So it's not the same malchut, it's not the same light, it's not the same calculation as before. This is something completely new that I now receive in order to bestow to the host. I have new light, new kli, and a completely new feeling of what's between my reception and what's between me and the host.
Not clear how Malchut can calculate after the Tzimtzum and know how much she can bestow to the host.
She has reshimot. That's a correct question, but she has reshimot.
From where?
From receiving, first of all. Malchut of Ein Sof received all the light, meaning the light that the host wants her to receive, she has received. For all of this light, she has reshimot. She made a restriction. And then the light departed because there's no coercion in spirituality. And now because the host nevertheless implores and says, please receive as much as you can, just something. I might agree with anything. And then she makes a calculation of how much it can receive. And the calculation is with the same light that she had, with the same desire that she had, with the same restriction that she made. And now she's going to receive in order to bestow because she has all the data. Now, that light, how much can I receive and keep myself in doing it only for the host? So now I'm weighing not the pleasure, but rather what kind of pleasure I had in receiving to myself. Now, what kind of pleasure I want to have in bestowing to the host, in bestowing to the host, and I have to weigh all of this now, all of these things, and see how much can I receive, but not for myself, only for the benefit of the host, where I seemingly I give. It's like the example of the ring that we learned about, and other examples where I actually give to the host and not receive, even though I am receiving, but that reception is only in order to give. So it's not reception, it's giving. It's my way of giving. So how much can I do that? And another question. Now that I bestow to the host, I have pleasure from bestowing to him. And that pleasure too, I have to take it in order to bestow. And that's a big pleasure. And I haven't made a calculation for it before. So there are many more calculations for us to look into here.
And we're not speaking about that?
That does not require restriction. Pleasure of bestowal is permitted.
How do we call it? What's its name in Tess?
That is the reflected light itself.
The pleasure from bestowing?
Of course. What do you mean? Of course. The pleasure is the reflected light. It's bestowing to the host. It's attaining the host. It's entering the host. We are connecting in what is called my beloved for me. We'll talk about it. Okay, we have Tel Aviv 3.
The same calculations you just explained to Michael, why couldn't she do these calculations before the restriction?
Before the restriction, she has a will to receive, to enjoy exactly the same light that created her, and then she receives.
Yeah, but why can't you calculate on the pleasure she gives to the host before the tzimtzum?
Because she doesn't give to the host any pleasure. She doesn't feel like she's giving to the host. You can say the baby, just by its existence, gives pleasure to its mother. That's not taken into account. Of course, the Creator enjoys all of the created beings, but that's not what it's about in the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's about how we resemble Him. Chadera 1.
Rav, the process we read about in the first part of the lesson, that faith above reason, and then reception upon reason. It seems that we're studying this on behalf of the system now, that by faith above reason, we can correct our desire and raise reflected light, and then by this, get a knowledge how much light to receive. Is that right?
That is correct, 100%. That's very true.
Thank you.
Tel Aviv 1.
We're speaking about a state that I get the abundance from the Creator. It goes through me. I'm not the destination. It goes through me back to Him, right?
Well, it's not how it is, but let's say you want the mechanics.
I'm trying to understand it somehow.
Okay, so keep these understandings for yourself. I don't want to take part in that. Later on, you'll understand how it goes into some circulation. That's not how it works.
Thank you, Rav. The direct light, the Creator is sending the direct light as pleasure all the time, I believe. So when does Behina Dalit feel the direct light as pleasure?
Behina Dalit margisha eta or kita anuk.
Behina Dalit feels the light as pleasure in Behina Dalit of the four phases of direct light of the Behina Dalit of Ansof, and that's why she makes a restriction. She makes the restriction because she receives the pleasure from the Upper One and feels that the Upper One enjoys giving, and she feels pleasure from receiving, and then she makes a restriction.
So shouldn't Behina Dalit feel this all the time? So feel that the Creator is sending pleasure all the time? I mean, doesn't Behina Dalit feel that it's not pleasure when the Creator is sending pleasure? Behina Dalit doesn't feel it as pleasure sometimes.
I don't know exactly what you are referring to, but let's keep going and then things will get clearer for us. Let's go to Mach 2.
Да, спасибо, учитель. Вот угощения хозяина бывают разные, бывают.
Thank you, teacher.
Мы сейчас вот
The refreshments the host is giving.
We're talking about pleasure. Pleasure. If you like salty, then salty is pleasurable for you. If you like sweet, then sweet is pleasurable. We're talking about pleasure, not flavor. Everyone has their own flavor. The Creator knows what to give to everyone. Because He created desire, and according to that desire, He fills that desire with the pleasure that the desire yearns for. PT 34.
He writes that Behina Dalit is the vessel to continue the light from. So question, when the force of Tzimtzum works, how can Behina Dalit extend the light?
Extending the light does not prevent the Tzimtzum. She receives the light, but the light can't come in. But there is a desire that attracts the light.
Haifa
3.
Thank you, Rav. Does the awareness to bestow, is that attainment?
No. Attainment is what we attain in the reflected light that connects with the direct light. This is in the Rosh of the Patsuf. Moscow 7.
Если мы говорим о том, что Малху делает расчет уже после получения наслаждения.
If we're speaking that the Malchut calculates after receiving the pleasures, and to take into account that there's no time in spirituality, so it turns out that there's no difference between the time of receiving and the calculation and bestowing, it's like it means nothing. So practically, if I calculated about my actions in the 10, for instance, what I did yesterday and I scrutinized it, does it have any meaning for the scrutiny?
There's no tomorrow and yesterday and today, there's only cause and effect only. That is time in spirituality. Cause and effect.
What you said about Malchut calculating in order to give contentment to the Creator on behalf of the light that was in her, how can it be in Malchut before the Tzimtzum?
No, in Sof, she received all the light, correct?
Yeah, it's all right, but I'm trying to understand if we're speaking about working from below upward in order to bestow to the Creator. How can I calculate?
You have the Shemot from all the states that existed from En Sof to this world in the construction of the whole Kli, the construction of your soul, everything exists in each and every one. You have all of the details. The moment you can work with them correctly, you will feel them. They will awaken in you. Zichron 1.
Is there a connection between the kind of Tzimtzum Aleph or Bet and the passage from above reason that comes into reason?
Ken. Ken.
Yes. Yeah. PT
13.
He writes in 53 that the cause and effects that divides them from four phases wasn't revealed in Ein Sof before the Tzimtzum, before the restriction. Can you explain that?
What hasn't been revealed before the Tzimtzum?
He writes of the four phases.
That we didn't see the will to receive in a clear manner before the Tzimtzum, because there was essentially no difference between the desires. Even though they were, there was, but it wasn't apparent. Because everything was then could be used, then there was no difference between before and after and up and down and so on.
So after Bchinat Dalet that performs the Tzimtzum, then we get the 1, 2, 3 phases?
Correct. Only after the Tzimtzum we can talk about all the discernments in a clearer fashion, because then you can already examine things opposite the restriction, if it's permitted or prohibited and so on. PD 25.
The Reshimot from all the previous states, and specifically from the next state, are they revealed from the tendency from the connection between us?
Right. According to the tendency to connect, we discover what we need to realize it.
And mechanically, it means that the Reshimot are in the Rosh and not in the Guf? Is there meaning to what I said?
There's a Shemot in the Rosh and there's a Shemot in the Guf. This is separate from that. This is what we already learn in the emergence of the Partsufim, one from the other. The Shemot from the previous Partsufim, from the Guf of the previous Partsuf, becomes the Rosh of the next Partsuf. Like Dalet Gimel that remains from the Guf of Galgalta becomes the Shemot from the for the actions of Rosh of Ab. Next.
We are reading 57. The detaining force that was placed on Bchinat Dalet is called Masach, a screen. 57. This new force that she added is called Masach, or a screen. This Masach is fundamental factor in the extension of the light of the line to the first three phases, or Bchinot. This is so because Tzimtzum, the restriction she performed, meaning the removal of her desire from receiving in the fourth phase, was enough only to remove the upper light from her. However, afterwards, she drew the light once more, and was forced to reawaken her Bchinat Dalet in order to draw the new extension. Thus, if she had not made that new force towards the expansion of the light would reach Bchinat Dalet, the fourth phase, once again. Thus, the primary element of the extension of the light of Kav on the first three phases is the force of the Masach exclusively, which she has made once more with regards to the light. You must understand the two Bchinot, the two discernments thoroughly, meaning the Tzimtzum and Masach, for they are the foundations for the rest of the entire wisdom.
Well, it seems to be clear. The detaining force that was placed on the masach of that was placed on Prina Dalet is called masach. Before that, that detaining force was not there. There was just a will to receive that could receive whatever it had. Next.
58. The Tzimtzum was mindful. The Masach that pushes the light by the power of authority was not mindful. 58. You must understand the difference between the Tzimtzum that Malchut of Ein Sof performed, being the departure from the great will to receive due to her desire and the choice to equalize with the emanator, and the Masach, which is the detaining force and the authority and the compelling force that prevents the light from reaching Prinat Dalet. 59. The reason is, for it is that although both the Tzimtzum and the Masach were performed by Malchut of Ein Sof, you already know that when the spiritual entity acquires a new traditional form, it is then regarded as two spiritual entities and two discernments that are as far from apart from one another as the measure of the disparity of form. Just as a corporeal objects become separated from one another by an axe, and are distanced from each other by space and area, so are the spirituals discriminating from each other by an innovation of form. And they distance from one another as the measure of disparity of each and every form, whether more or less.
So from here it should be clear to us what's the difference between us and the Creator and each and every desire or each and every created being, one towards the other or one towards the Creator, only according to the size. Mach Israel.
В мере объединения с десяткой пробудившийся решимот устраивает экран и будущее.
The extent of connection with the 10, the Rishimot build the Masach between us?
Correct. That's right.
60. The Masach is a result of the restricted Malchut. A desire in the superior is a force in the inferior. 60. Thus, after the above Malchut performed an extension of the light of the line over the three phases, this extension is regarded as a new form, added to the form of the Tzimtzum. Thus, there are two Prinot in the above Malchut, two discernments of the Malchut. One, the restricted Malchut, being the first form that was made in Malchut of Ein Sof, which now adopted the new form called the restricted Malchut. Later, when this Malchut performed an extension of the light of the three Prinot, the new form was born and emerged. It was called Masach, preventing the light from appearing in Prinat Dalet. It is known that every desire in the superior becomes an authority in the branch that extends from it. The Masach is a branch and upshot of the restricted Malchut. Hence, Malchut restricted herself voluntarily and knowingly without any control by her upper one. However, the consequence that extends from her, namely the Masach, is already completely controlled by the Tzimtzum, since it is a second degree in Olam HaTzimtzum.
This means that if the lower one makes a certain action, does not want to work with his will to receive, determining that from now on it will only be in a desire to bestow in this or that degree, then the upper one agrees with him, and that is already accepted above as a law. To the extent that the created being wants to resemble the Creator, please, you want to resemble, this is taken as a something you've determined in the spiritual world already. Moscow 4.
Question. In what way is this desire of the upper one become a force for the lower one? Is that like an environment that obligates them, or how does it work?
In the lower one, there's no more than what he receives from the upper one. That's clear. It's a system. So, from the upper one to the lower one come decisions and forces. From the lower one to the upper one rise responses. If these responses are in line with the direction of the development of creation, then they are accepted in the upper one, and the upper one begins to change its attitude to the lower one, make a correction, an adjustment of the direction. And that's how it happens. It's a feedback mechanism where there's always a response from the lower one to the upper one in accordance with how much he changes in line with the general plan of creation. That's it.
Where
are we?
Yeah.
The continuation of Igulim and Yosher?
No. So we will leave that here, and this is already Igulim Yosher. We'll get to that later on.
PT18 have a question.
PT18, okay.
Rav, the action of the Tzimtzum brings the Masach, there's like a cause and effect here, or is it two separate actions?
What do you mean, separate actions? There is a restriction, and as a result of the restriction, a new attitude evolves beyond the restriction. How can there be a connection between the Creator and the created being, between the light and the will to receive? So in Malchut Ein Sof, there is a restriction. And after the restriction, still the light extends to the will to receive, and the will to receive already rejects it and wants to receive it in a different way in order to bestow, according to the equivalence of form, to basically bypass the Tzimtzum, and the upper light helps him in that, and by shining to him and giving him an awakening to receive in order to bestow. Meaning the restriction remains, it doesn't disappear, it doesn't go away, it doesn't end, but now there is a different shape of reception, and that's through reflected light, through rejection. It's a certain condition in which the guests can receive everything from the host, but it's not considered receiving, it is considered bestowing. So if you look from outside at the host and the guests, what you see is that the host is receiving. What's happening here? He didn't want to receive before. And no one knows what's happening, that the guest all of a sudden is doing that. But if you understand what's happening, then you see that the guest does it all for the sake of the host, and the host agrees that that the guest will receive for him, and the host enjoys that the guest enjoys, and mostly the host enjoys the guest wanting to resemble him, to bestow as well. That indicates that he appreciates the host, that he respects the host, that he raises himself to the degree of the host, becomes like the host. So of course, that's a different kind of work with the will to receive, and they are both in adhesion by receiving from each other and giving to each other. And the Creator receives too. He enjoys, he receives pleasure from the created beings. The created being unlocks a great will to receive in the Creator, in wanting to bestow. Put it like this. A mother, a woman, before she gives birth, she has no desire to feed the baby. After she has a baby, then all she wants is to give to him and give to him and give to him. Why? Because she enjoys it. She receives and she suffers if he doesn't receive. That's how it is here. PT 32.
The upper light constantly wants to enter the Malchut. So what does it mean that Malchut is drawing the light or extending it? What's that addition of extension?
There is a general upper light that wants to enter the Malchut. That's on the Creator's part. And then there is a continuation, a reception on behalf of the created being, that the created being reveals his desire to draw and attract the light in order to bestow. That's a different thing altogether, two different actions. There's willingness on part of the Creator, action on part of the created being. And without the action of the created being, that he draws the light to receive it in order to bestow, then the upper light does not appear to the created beings. Just like we don't feel the upper light that we are in. Yes.
Can I ask, according to an example that Shimon asked me if I want coffee earlier, and I wanted it. Now, I have to restrict the moment there's a request about the coffee or the way I drink it, that he brings it to me. It's so many states that, how do...
Well, we're not talking about our life now. We'll talk about that later.
I'm just about the example with the host and the guest. When the guest enters the house of the host, he didn't eat yet.
And he doesn't intend anything to do anything yet. When he comes and he starts discovering that he's in a table and he wants to be, he wants to receive, he feels him as a receiver, the host as a giver, all that needs to appear.
So after he eats from the meal, he has to perform the restriction and the...
We learn that the upper light expands until the Malchut and fills the Malchut, and after the Malchut feels that she is full of the upper light, that then in the upper light she feels how much she has fulfillment, and in the fulfillment she feels that the Creator wants to give to her and give her pleasure, and there she feels that she cannot do it, that she cannot be like him. And then a gap appears between her and the Creator, where she actually feels opposite to the host. Not that she receives something from him and he fulfills. He created me and he fulfills me, so what? Let him fulfill me. That's why he created me. But where do I feel that I am the receiver, that it's not like what he created, but beyond that, that is the question. And then she makes a restriction, where she feels that she herself, that she receives and enjoys, and she has her own will to receive, even more than what the host gives. That's where she feels that she receives, and that's not according to the host. The host gives the desire and the fulfillment. There's no shame on that. That's how he created me. That's the animate level. But the fact that I feel that I myself want to continue receiving and enjoying for myself, that is why I feel shame.
And from there, all the cascading is developed of all of reality?
Yes, of course. That is what invites the restriction, and that's where the system begins, where the created being wants to settle it with the creator.
What's the difference between what develops in the created being that wants to conceal himself from the creator and our work here?
We are after the shattering, and after everything from below upwards, we begin to grow in order to be similar to the Creator. So we have to grow from literally zero, from nothing.
That's the continuation of the work or the inversion of the work?
Everything we learn in tests is in order to build our reality and give us an opportunity to begin to ascend. That's what you have. All right. Okay. Okay. What am I going to do here? Questions? Okay. Quickly. Maktu.
Good morning, Rav. Is my thought correct? I want to remain under the restriction and finish the correction in the... We won't be corrected till we're ready for the next stage.
Yeah, that's a good exercise. PT 17.
Hi, Rav. In 48, he said that the Masach was from her own mindful and the Masach wasn't from her mindful.
Right, because the Timsum was made according to the calculation, and then the Masach makes the action.
Why isn't her action from her own mindful?
Because it already happened during the restriction. The truth is the Masach does everything. It's in the Rosh of the Potsuf. We're going to learn more on that afterwards. It's where there's no longer a decision about that. The Tzimtzum made the decision in a way that you can't receive after the Tzimtzum, but only in order to bestow and to that extent. We'll learn that. Okay, we're moving to the next part.
And let's sing a song first.
Face after face, race after race, one cage to another, mask after mask, task after task, lost in the sands.
Through you there's a cry, through you there's a light, a place to be discovered. Through you there's a way, together we pray to rise.
To see the face of love through your eyes, together as one. Now we rise, and every word an echo from the skies, breaking the walls, hearts unite. After face, race after race, from one cage to another, mask after mask, task after task, lost in the sands.
Through you there's a cry, through you there's a light, a place to be discovered. Through you there's a way, together we pray to rise.
To see the face of love through your eyes, together as one, and now we rise, and every word an echo from the skies, breaking the walls, hearts unite.
flaws. There is a key, a place where we can open doors. Together we yearn, the fire it burns, a chance to feel alive. A song from the heart, singing that love will cover our cry. To see the face of